It's a real privilege and an honor to be here. And I want to take some time, and this is the theme that I want to speak to you on today about prayer. But would you like to know a little bit about me, my family? And yeah? Come on. Would you like? Yes? Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. I'll show you some photos of my family, and I'll explain to you about how we ended up doing what we're doing now, and then we'll share the word of the Lord with you. So I'm going to show you here a picture of my wife. This is Catherine. We got married in the year 2000, and our story is a story of God's grace. Catherine followed Jesus in her early teens, got away from the Lord in those sort of tricky mid-teen years. I didn't follow Jesus during my teenage years, but I was indebted to a female evangelist in the city of Belfast in Northern Ireland. That's where we grew up. And she made it her aim to go in and around the housing areas in the community where we lived. And she brought us along to a local church and connected us into the Sunday school. And that's where the gospel was sown in my heart as a young boy. And then fast forward all those years, I left high school, and I found myself in April 1997, I found myself in a nightclub in Belfast city center. I was 18 years of age. I was lost. I was struggling. Couldn't find my way. I was confused about life. I was asking the big questions of life. And in that nightclub that Saturday evening, God actually met me there in an incredible way. So Catherine, she was in the nightclub that evening too. And we had actually went to high school together, and we never spoke to one another once. And we were in some of the same classes for 2 years. And I recognized her, and she recognized me, and we got chatting. And we started dating one another. And after about 10 weeks of dating each other, she introduced me to her mom. And when I saw her mom, I recognized her mom's face, and she recognized my face. Well, she was one of the Sunday school teachers in the little church that I was brought along to as a boy. And God was really tracking me down and beginning to speak deeply to my life. And just after that Saturday evening, the subsequent weeks and months, the Lord was really dealing with me. I couldn't even make sense of what was going on in my life. I just knew that I had this huge problem, the problem of sin. And I actually made my way back to the little church that I went to as a boy many, many years later. Talk about the importance of kids ministry. Faithfully, week by week, teaching kids the gospel. And I went back the 21st of October, 1997. I made my way back up to that little church. I hopped on a public bus, took a 5-mile journey. And that was my first ever prayer meeting as a follower of Jesus Christ. The same pastor was there. That's a pastor's dream. Somebody coming through the door asking to be led to Jesus. And I remember sitting in the front row of that little church in Belfast that night, and the pastor led me in a sinner's prayer where I acknowledged my sin, and I trusted Jesus for salvation, and I turned from my ways to follow his ways, and that was the best day of my life. And the Lord came into my life and broke all sorts of chains off me and addictions. And of course, they weren't all instant. As we know with Jesus, it's a sanctification as a process. I'm still walking through that journey. So that was October 97. Then in January 98, I took Catherine along to an evangelistic rally in Belfast city center. And she was restored to Jesus. And I'm standing here with you today in Winter Haven, and I can honestly say my salvation is as fresh to me today as it was on the 21st of October, 1997. I've never gotten over the grace of God, that there I was lost in that nightclub, wandering aimlessly through life, and Jesus, the friend of sinners, had a plan to meet me there that night. And I want to show you a picture of my family. That's my kids. Don't think we're quite as big a family as Brent and Christine, but we're not doing too bad. And so that's all my children. four daughters and three sons, and we all serve Jesus together. We're all in the ministry together, and I want to go on and show you a few pictures here of Ireland. Anyone ever been to Ireland? No one has been to Ireland in the room. Wow. Oh, there's someone at the back has been. This area here is one of Ireland's most famous areas called the Cliffs of Moher, famous cliffs, and one of our most famous castles, the Rock of Cashel in County Tipperary. And this is Dublin City, 2 million people in Dublin City. Ireland as a whole has a population of 7 million people, and 2 million of them live in Dublin. And the Lord led my family to plant a church back in 2012. You know, if you know anything about the history of the northern part of Ireland, you'll know that there was conflict there. There was a war there for 30 years between Protestants and Catholics. And God called my family to actually plant the church in the middle of two large housing communities to bring reconciliation through the gospel. And what a joy it was to look down, just like I'm looking down this morning, and see people from divided communities worshiping Jesus together. And Jesus is the answer, isn't he? And Florida needs Jesus, and Ireland needs Jesus, and the world needs Jesus. And we need to keep preaching Jesus, Jesus only. He's the answer. So we call the church the Journey Church. And we started this in the living room of my home. And the main thrust of the church was to go after unchurched people. And we called it The Journey because we just wanted to meet people in their journey of life. And we wanted to introduce them to Christ. We laid aside the Protestant tag. We laid aside the Catholic tag. And we made it all about Christ. And it was beautiful over the years to see the Lord transforming lives. So this is the building that the Lord gave us. Similar setting to your setting here at Kairos. I'll show you a few pictures of our congregation. We actually opened a kids' indoor adventure playground at the church as a community outreach. It runs from Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5. And we get about 500 people through the center each week. So you know the deal. The kids have fun in the slides while the parents enjoy good coffee. So some people say they're actually, these centers are more for the parents than the children, you know. So we call this center Happy Days. Happy Days. And we have a cafe. You see our cafe there. Pretty similar to your own setup. And then we hand all this over to the kids ministry on Sundays. And they get the, you know, climb on the climbing frame and slide down the slides. Good way to get kids to church on Sunday morning when you're trying to get them out of bed. So this is what the Lord, by his grace, enabled us to do at the Journey Church. Let's see what's next. And then in April 2020, and you remember 2020, like who could forget it when COVID came? I was standing on this bridge praying. This is a famous bridge. It's called the Lagan Weir Footbridge in the center of Belfast. And I was standing, leaning on that brown-colored rail there. And that is a famous river in the center of Belfast called the River Lagan. And I was just leaning on the rail, looking out over the river. I was just talking to God. And I got the first sense of a fresh call upon our lives and our family into a new ministry. You know, sometimes the way God can speak to you, he sort of catches you off guard a bit, and you're like, wow, is that the Holy Spirit dropping something into my heart? And then God goes on to confirm that through Scripture and through other people. Well, what the Lord was asking of me was, first of all me, and then my wife, and then our family, was that we would be willing to let go of everything that the Lord had helped us establish at the Journey Church. And the church was on the upward trajectory, and God was calling us to just step down from our position. That was a process we worked through, and we turned the church over to another pastor. The Lord was calling us out into an Ireland-wide church planting ministry. And God began to speak very powerfully to us about that. I remember the first time that I shared something of this with my wife, and she looked at me as if I had five heads. She's like, you mean all the sweat, blood, and tears of all the years establishing the church? And the Lord was saying, I want you to step down from your role. I want you to relinquish your salary, and I want you to learn to trust me at a deeper level, even for your future finances. I want you to walk with me. I want to take you on a new adventure and a new journey. Well, that was a challenging time for all of us, trying to work that out, trying to get our heads around that. And it wasn't until 13 months later, May the following year, 2021, that my wife had a powerful encounter with the Lord. And the Lord revealed all of this to her in a beautiful way. I had to wait 13 months. You see, when God is working in a marriage, he confirms it to both the husband and the wife. Do you agree with that? Yes. And it's important to wait, not plow on ahead in our own timing, but to wait on the Lord to do his work and to do his will. And boy, did the Lord give my wife an experience with him that she will never, ever forget. And she needed that. She needed to be brought into the fullness of the new call. So now our family are engaged in this ministry that we call Ireland for Jesus. And the call is to help plant churches right across the nation of Ireland, working in partnership with Irish churches and Irish leaders. And the significance of receiving the call in this bridge. By the way, just go back to the bridge, please. By the way, these yellow cranes in the background, that's the area where the Titanic ship was constructed. So this is a famous area of Belfast. And the significance of standing on the bridge is this. The very specific call that God gave my family was, I want you to spearhead Ireland for Jesus, planting churches right throughout the nation of Ireland while building a stronger kingdom bridge between the United States and Ireland. That was the call God gave us. You know that there's a strong connection. Does anyone in the room have Irish ancestry? Yeah. You know that 1 out of 10 Americans can trace their roots back to Ireland. And there has been historically, in the history of the United States, because during the Irish potato famine, there were 1 million plus Irish citizens relocated to the United States, many of them bringing the gospel here to this nation. And God was calling us, saying, I want you to offer the American people the opportunity to partner again with the great nation of Ireland. And that's the significance of standing on this bridge. So here's a map of Ireland. And the southern part of Ireland, what we call the Republic of Ireland, there's a great, great need for church planting. You probably didn't know this about Ireland, but do you know that we have over 50 towns with a population of 5,000 people or more that doesn't have any evangelical church at all? I could take you to Ireland today and walk you through those towns. Historically, Ireland has been a very Catholic country, and 25 years ago, it's estimated that 80% of the adult population in Ireland had a connection with the Roman Catholic Church and attended Mass at certain times of the year. Maybe for some of them, it might have just been Christmas and Easter. 80%. You know that 25 years later, it's now 10% of the population. And this has created a huge vacuum. And the Lord has called my family to spearhead this ministry. And we're going after all 50-plus towns. We're trusting the Lord again for revival in our lifetime of the nation of Ireland, where Christianity stretches way, way back to the 5th century and the time of St. Patrick. And if St. Patrick could plant hundreds of churches in Ireland with his band of believers before the days of airplanes and internet and modern technology, then why can we not do it again? And so I'm on this trip here across the United States at the moment, forming partnerships with churches and individuals who the Lord is inviting to be part of our ministry, because we can't do it alone. It's all about teamwork in the kingdom, isn't it? And we're better together. So it's been scary for our family, just stepping out into the unknown. Sometimes the unknown can be scary, right? For all of us. And the reality is, none of us know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Never mind next week or next month or next year. And that's why the Christian life is a life of faith, where Jesus calls us to put our hand in his hand. And he says, you follow me and I will lead you forth. And the time that we have remaining today, I want to leave something with you about just the importance of prayer in all of our lives. And I come with a message of encouragement today for you to recultivate again the centrality of prayer in our lives and the wonder of the incredible privilege that we have as followers of Jesus Christ to converse with the Almighty, to talk to Him, and to have Him talk to us by His Word, through His Spirit, through His people. And I want to encourage you today to be devoted to prayer. My text is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's just the one verse I want to leave with you, where the Apostle Paul calls us to a life that is marked by prayer. Marked by prayer. This has been our family theme throughout the whole of this year as we've received this fresh calling. You know, God called us to spearhead this Irish ministry, as I said, in partnership with U.S. churches and U.S. believers. Have you come to realize that God has a sense of humor? We didn't know any Americans. We didn't know any American churches. I mean, we probably could count on one hand the amount, number of people who we knew who lived in the United States or who had relocated to Ireland. And we were like, Lord, this is ridiculous. And the Lord says, well, I know quite a few Americans. And if you choose to follow me, I'll introduce you to them. You see, who believes that God's still in the business of doing the impossible? Who still believes in the promise where Jesus says, I will build my church, His church. And the Lord reminded us that this is His work and that we are not to carry the weight of the world upon our shoulders or the weight of Ireland, but that Jesus cares more about Ireland than we do. And the Lord was inviting us into kingdom partnership. Just like when a child gets to go to work with their father, and the dad has his construction hat on, and the son has his construction hat on. And you know, maybe the kid's only 6 years of age, doesn't really fully know what he's doing. That's where I'm at. But he still goes along anyway, and he enjoys, you know, having the tools and being on the building site. He's following the father. And the Lord was ministering deeply to me and my wife and saying that prayer is the key to all of this. If you keep connected into me, that you are the branches and I am the vine, if you keep connected into me as the sustainer and the provider and the one who will be your guide and will lead you every step of the way, the God, He said to us, who opens doors and closes other doors. And the Lord reassured us that if we continued to give Jesus our yes in the place of prayer, that He would open doors across the United States like we could never imagine. That's what brings me here today to minister to you. Not really sure how I got here. By God's grace. By God's grace. Can I encourage you today? You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. The only step that Jesus requires you to take is the next step. Is the next step. Don't be thinking 10 steps ahead, 20 steps ahead. That's why Jesus told us to pray, give us this, our daily bread. Not tomorrow, next week, or next month. The Lord says, there's enough trouble in this day to take care of itself. Focus on this day. Live in the present. I mean, are you ever guilty of living in the future? Oh, when everything gets sorted with work, when work is better, then I'll be more devoted to prayer and following Jesus. You know, when I finally get my finances sorted out, then I'll be more devoted to prayer and more devoted to Jesus. And we know that sometimes when the future comes, that we find ourselves in the same position. You see, the Lord calls us to live in the present, to see the wonder of today, to see the opportunities before us today, to live in obedience today, to be devoted to prayer today. And we need to get back to the wonder of prayer again. And just that what the Lord has called us into. And I want to remind you today of the connection between prayer and God's grace. Okay? So I want us to think about prayer from a gospel-centered point of view. Christ dies on the cross. He cries, "It is finished." The scripture says the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, signifying that the way was opened for us sinners to step into the presence of God, to be clothed in his righteousness. The way was opened for us to enjoy this incredible relationship with the living God. This is all centered on the blood of Christ and the gospel of Jesus. And God promised us that he would bring us into his kingdom by grace, okay? And then when we enter into his kingdom, that as we walk with Jesus day by day to do his will, that there would be grace upon grace for that. Say that with me, grace upon grace. Grace. Say it again, grace upon grace. That is a way of God communicating to us that he will call us to do many things in our lives. In fact, many times he calls us to do challenging things for him, but there's one thing that God will never ask us to do. He will never ask us to do anything alone. That's enough for me, and it ought to be enough for you in the light of who God is for us in the person of Jesus. You see, God is so for us. If you want to know whether or not God is for you, look at the cross. The Father gave his best. He gave his only son. And if he's given us his son, will he not with him freely give us all things? Say all things. All things. That's the promise. But that stream of grace flows to us. And I would describe grace as God's enabling power. God's enabling power in our lives. We're like, I can't do it. And Jesus says, you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. But in order to be living under that flow of God's grace, we need to be people who are devoted to prayer. We need to have the lines of communication between God and us opened, where this grace is continually flowing down on our lives, flowing down on our minds, our emotions, our bodies, flowing down on our marriages and our relationships, flowing down on our kids and our family life, flowing down in our church life and on our communities. That everywhere we go, we're carriers of grace. We're powerful people because we're carriers of the kingdom of God everywhere we go. And this is what the Lord has been reinforcing to us in our family, stepping out into this impossible mission of helping to plant 50 plus churches across the nation of Ireland. God says, if you keep your eyes on me, I will give you the wisdom. I will give you the creativity. I will give you the connections. I will give you the finance. I will give you the leaders. I will give you everything you need. But you must remain under the flow of my grace. When we step out of the flow of God's grace and we begin to live in our own strength, that's when the problems arise. That's when the energy goes. That's when the creativity goes. That's when we continually hit brick walls and we have no answers. That's when God begins to feel distant to us. We can't sense his embrace because we've stepped out of the flow of God's grace. But here's the good news today. God is always calling his people just to step back into that flow again and say, Lord, I can't do it without you. Forgive me, Lord, for trying to do it my own way. That prayer of repentance, whether it's for the first time as someone who doesn't know Jesus, has never known his love and his salvation, or we as believers who have gotten away from God, maybe become dry in our faith and in our Christian experience, and the Lord says, I'm calling you back into intimacy again. But it must come from an acknowledgement from us that we haven't been walking as we ought to be walking. The call is to be devoted to prayer, and then we will experience the flow of God's grace. Listen to this beautiful verse from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, about God's grace. And God is able to make all grace, say that, all grace, abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Wow, what a powerful verse. All grace, all sufficiency, all things, all times. Everything's covered. Every area of our lives is covered. From the moment we waken up to the moment we put our head in the pillow and when we're asleep. Our past, our present, our future, all under the grace of God. God says, I'm a provider. Jesus says, when I died for you, I just didn't die for the forgiveness of your sins. As wonderful as that is, I also died to be your provider. That you might do everything that I call you to do. That you might be the person that I've called you to be. This incredible prayer, or connection between prayer and grace. Hebrews 4:16 puts it like this. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. The throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When's the time of need? Every moment, now. Now's the time of need. Tomorrow's the time of need. The next day's the time of need. We're a needy people, and Jesus knows that. But the grace of God is all sufficient for us. That no matter what we're facing, no matter what curveball comes our way in our lives, the Lord gives us the enabling power to be overcomers. He gives us heaven's solutions to earth's problems when we posture our hearts before Him in obedience and say, Lord, come and do what you want to do. And notice the exhortation in the verse is to be devoted to prayer with thankfulness and watchfulness. That's the command. Thankfulness. Thanking God for what He's done for us. Thanking Him for past victories. That's a way of reminding us about the future victories that we're going to walk in. Just being devoted to prayer with thankfulness means coming to God sometimes, just with a list. Let's get the family around the table and begin to write out things that we're thankful for and just begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our marriage. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for the car we drive. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for our community. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thankfulness attracts the favor of God. In the same way, I believe, as negativity attracts the work of the enemy. When we continually complain, we need to be a thankful people. The scripture says we need to be a watchful people. In other words, our prayer lives ought to be adventurous, where we're watching what God is doing and how He's moving the pieces of the chessboard, and then we're responding to that in prayer. So God is taking us on an adventure. Back in Ireland, the kids get out during July and August for school. And every single morning without fail, our youngest child, Joshua, 6 years of age, comes into mommy and daddy's room, bright and early. You know how it is if you got young kids. And he says, Mom and Dad, same question every day throughout the whole summer. Mom and Dad, what are we doing today? And it's like, but yesterday we did, you know how it is. And that cost a lot of money, and that cost, no, yesterday's gone. What are we doing today? Oh, we've got some plans for next week, No, not next week. Next week's irrelevant to a child. What are we doing today? You see, he wanted a new adventure. Yesterday was gone. Tomorrow is way in the future. Is it any wonder that Jesus calls us to live by a childlike faith? Jesus wants to take all of us on a fresh adventure. Like a treasure hunt, as it were, where he leads us to the next location, the next place in our lives. And we lift up the rock, and under the rock is a little note, and that note tells us something about the next part of our story, the next person that God wants us to meet, the next journey that the Lord wants us to take us on. And can I remind you today that our Lord doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us. He's a good God. He's a God of adventure. And when we lose the wonder and awe of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we lose our joy. And when we lose our joy, then we lose our strength. And that's why the scripture says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He's calling us to this fresh wonder and amazement. The creativity of God. You know, the first thing that God does in Scripture is he creates. God says, I want to give you creativity in your present circumstances. There's a way forward. And that's where we need to posture ourselves and be devoted to prayer and say, Lord, would you help me? What's the next step? What's the next step in my journey with you? We all face opposition, don't we, in our lives? But opposition is an invitation to experience more of God's grace, to experience his grace in a new, fresh way, and to know what it means to have God as our provider. And God brought me the whole way from Ireland today to tell you that he loves you so much, and he just longs for that closeness with you. And God's not looking over your life today with a big stick ready to condemn you. The scripture says Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The embrace of a loving father. I'm going to ask the band to come, and they're just going to just gently play as I just pray over you. And just as they come, let me read that scripture to you again. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Would you help me out again with the alls? Will you do that? Okay. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Isn't Jesus good? Isn't it a joy to follow him? The victory is ours in Christ. Let's step in to the grace of God, and let's be a people in our home lives, in our private lives, in our church community who are devoted to prayer. What does it look like to be devoted to prayer in your life? Just making prayer a part of your lifestyle. You meet somebody in the parking lot and they have a challenge. Put your hand on their shoulder. Pray for them. Don't say, I'll pray for you, and then walk off and never pray for them. We've all been guilty of that, haven't we? Pray for them there and then. Bring God into every conversation. Pray for people at church. Be devoted to prayer. Don't see it as a Christian duty. See it as a delight. Stand to your feet with me, and let me pray with you. Lord God Almighty, restore unto us the joy of our salvation, the wonder of being able to talk to you, the joy of our salvation, Lord. We need fresh joy in our lives, the joy of the Lord. God, forgive us for the times when we go our own way and do our own thing. We pray in the name of Jesus, just for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit for all of us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as they go into this week, give them the liberty around the table with their kids. Lord, married couples who have maybe never prayed together for years, help them just to connect and begin, even for a few moments, just to pray again. Don't be overwhelmed by where do I start. Just start where you are and just say, Jesus, help me. Help us to be devoted to prayer. Help us to be a family of prayer, a community of prayer. So, Lord, we worship you. And as we sing these songs, Lord, we just pray that you will lift our hearts to heaven and give us eyes to see as Jesus sees. In his name we pray. Amen.